Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Again, just appreciate Pastor giving me the opportunity to speak to you this evening. It's always a joy to come back to Worth Baptist Church. You folks never cease to make us feel home when we're here, even though we've been gone for, goodness, I guess 11 or 12 years now. It's just come back and it's like home again. And I appreciate so much every person who has made us feel so welcome. My daughter was just saying the other day how when she came back, just how accepted she feels here. And it's just a place of acceptance. And we just thank you so very much. And the new friends we can make along the way as well is always helpful as well. Matthew chapter 14, we're reading, starting in verse 22. I just wanted to help to you this evening. We could preach revival, and boy, America needs revival, does it not? I don't think any day has been more needful than today for revival and repentance in America. And we certainly need that. And I think we'd all stand up and shout a resounding amen to the needs of this nation right now. But as I began, as Pastor asked me to speak, and I began to talk and to pray about what I'd bring, I just want to be a blessing. And someone once told me that if you preach to hurting people, you'll never want for hearers. And we all go through hurting times. So I just want to be a help to you this evening as we talk about this morning. My title is In Case of Emergency. And you'll see where we're going in just a minute. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14. We'll read this almost to the end of the chapter after we pray together. Father, we do want to thank you so very much for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that in times of turmoil, in times of difficulty, in times of struggle, that you're right there. And Father, it's easy to lose track of that many times in our humanity, to forget that you're there through it all. And Father, we thank you for that precious hymn that each step I take, my Savior walks before me. We thank you for that truth. And Father, I pray that you remind us of it tonight as we look into your word. For it's in Christ's name we ask, and for his sake, amen. Matthew chapter 14, look at verse 22 if you will. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He had just preaching the 5,000. Been an exhausting day. John the Baptist had just been executed. He's preached to 5,000 people, fed them, and he's had a long day. He says, guys, I want you to get in the boat. You go on to the other side, and I'll meet you on the other side. And when he had sent the multitudes away, verse 23, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You remember as a little child, and you were kind of frightened, and you were in bed, and all it was just a particularly dark night, and you knew that there was a monster behind every door, and there was something hiding under your bed, and something was going to come get you. And just when your fears were at their peak, the doorknob begins to turn in your bedroom door, and you just know it's all over. You put your head under your covers, and it's just gonna, that's just it. It's the end of the world, and that door opens, and it's your dad, and he can tell right away you're frightened. He said, "It's okay. It's me. Don't be afraid." I kind of think that's kind of the way what was going on here. There was all kinds of fears going through the mind, and here they see this spirit, they think maybe, walking on the water. And just, wait a minute, guys, calm down. Don't be afraid. It's me. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately, I like that word, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I kind of like old reruns. I don't know if you like those or not. Mayberry RFD, Andy Griffith. I Love Lucy, you know. I'm not sure why I liked I Love Lucy, because she was lying and deceiving her husband at every point in time. But somehow, I don't know, we still like those shows. But I remember the one where they were in the train on their way back from California to New York. And Lucy somehow thinks that there is a jewel thief on board. You remember that episode? Anybody remember that one? And she's just convinced in her mind that there is a jewel thief on board that train. She knows it beyond a shadow of a doubt, and she can't get anyone to believe her. No one's listening to her. And she's walking through wondering how in the world to get somebody to pay attention to her. And she sees this little chain in the corner of the car, and it says, "In case of emergency, pull." And boy, she grabs that chain, and she pulls it for all she's worth, and you know the rest of the story. And we saw Fred and Ethel coming out of the dining car every time with food all over them. Well, that train just came to an abrupt and sudden stop. The fact of the matter is that we need to be prepared for emergencies in our life. They're always going to be there. And if we have a plan ahead of time, we're less likely to panic when the real emergency comes. We plan for all types of emergencies. The schools, they have their fire drills, their tornado drills. Now that I believe they even have our intruder drills, just to be sure to know what to do in case of each one of these emergencies. Fire departments recommend that every home have an escape plan. Okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to escape? What are the escapes out of the house? If you can't go this way, what other way is there to go? And once you get out, what is the meeting place you can get to? And always having that. We moved to Tennessee. We bought our first two-story home. And our first thought was, okay, what happens if there's a fire? And Sarah can't get downstairs. Sarah's up there by herself. So first thing we did is we bought this thing, this contraption, this ladder to climb. I'm not sure she'd ever had the guts to climb down it, but it's there. And she's going to go down that ladder if there's, in case, and you have a plan in case of emergency. Anyone who's taken a plane ride is familiar with the old spiel that the stewardesses do every time you're taxiing the runway. And nobody pays attention to it anymore, but they do it anyway. And every now and then they do something to make it just a little bit more interesting. I heard this one, and it went like this. "Welcome aboard. To operate your seatbelt, insert the metal tab into the buckle and pull tight. It works like every other seatbelt, so if you don't know how to operate one, you probably shouldn't be out in public unsupervised. In the event of a sudden loss of cabin pressure, oxygen mask will descend from the ceiling. Stop screaming, grab the mask, and pull it over your face. If you are traveling with a small child, secure your mask before assisting them. If you have two children, decide now which one you love more." So, different people respond different ways to emergencies. All of us have them. All of us have emergencies in our life. Some people panic. I mean, they just lose everything. You can't even logic with them. They're screaming and hollering. "What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't know. And they can't do anything because they're too busy panicking. Any panickers in the congregation tonight? Any husbands that will say, "Your wife's a panicker"? Nobody confesses. Other people take charge of the situation. Well, they're large and in charge. And, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to deal with this emergency. Other people, they just freeze. They don't know what to do. And they just don't do anything. And that's why it's so important to have a plan. And I believe we found such a plan in our passage this morning. Peter was facing one of the most frightening emergencies, if you will, of his life. The question is, how did he deal with it? Again, we all have emergencies. Things come up and we're not quite sure how to deal with them. We have financial reversals. How do we deal with those things? A job loss comes along. What do we do now? We thought it was all good to go. About a year and a half ago, our world kind of just fell apart. We were at the sword of the Lord. Everything's going great. And all of a sudden, we're no longer at the sword of the Lord. Lord, what are we going to do? We have a plan in place to take care of those things. All of us had those things that come up, and we weren't planning these things. We didn't plan for this to happen, and here it is. We find ourselves in the middle of this emergency. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a sudden tragedy in our life. Maybe a sudden sickness. The doctors voice that dreaded word of cancer. We have an emergency. How do we deal with that emergency? You may say, "Well, Larry, everything's fine in my life right now. I don't have emergencies. My family is all healthy. Everything's all good, and everything's fine." Well, that's fine. I'm glad to hear that. But I challenge you, maybe write down just a few notes today, because I promise you, if you're not going through an emergency tonight, it's coming. We all go through these emergencies. So let's just look, first of all, at our passage. And the first thing we want to do if we're in an emergency is to ask for God's guidance. If you're going through an emergency this evening, let me just challenge you. The first thing we need to do is ask for the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You see, when faced with an emergency, what's our first response? Our first response to panic or to do nothing or to take charge, whatever. And many times that can be the temptation, especially if we don't have a plan ahead of time. And it seems when we're in the midst of emergencies, there's so many different things that command our attention. And I see that Peter's first response was to seek the Lord's direction. He didn't just jump out, hey, I'm going to go see you. I better ask him about this one first. Lord, if that's you, would you bid me come to you? Lord, would you give me some direction here? I need to know what to do. I need to know how to respond in this case. And how that needs to be our first reaction is to ask for the Savior's instruction. So many times we just, hey, I know what to do. I'm going to take charge. I'll do it this way or that way or whatever. We have this all planned out, and we fail to ask for the Savior's direction and the Savior's instruction. The Bible is replete with examples of people who faced an emergency, and their first response was to pray. I think of Moses, who prayed and the enemy was defeated. Joshua prayed and the sun stood still. Elijah prayed and the rain stayed. Isaiah prayed and received his commission. Daniel prayed and was delivered from danger. Nehemiah prayed and the way to Jerusalem was open, and the way to the temple was built and the wall was built. We could go example after example when men of God prayed and God gave them direction that they needed. We could also cite several examples how men just went on and did what they wanted to do and made a mess of things. And how it's so tempting to do that. President Woodrow Wilson understood this principle. He said in the midst of difficulties in international negotiations, he arrived at a cabinet meeting with a solemn look on his face. It was evident that serious affairs of the nation were on his mind. He was facing an emergency that affected the entire world. He said to his cabinet members, I don't know whether you men believe in prayer or not. I do. And the President of the United States fell down on his knees with the members of the cabinet and offered a prayer for help from the Almighty. God, give us leaders like that, folks. We need leaders in our nation that are not afraid to say, hey, I may not know everything, know all the answers, and I need help from Almighty God. We need God give us those kind of leaders. By the way, prayer will be the most natural reaction in the world during an emergency if we've been careful to keep those lines of communications open when we don't have the emergencies. You ever notice how difficult it is and how awkward it is to ask a favor of someone who you haven't spoke to in a while? You ever tried that? All of a sudden, you need somebody's help, and you go, ooh, we're not exactly on speaking terms. I kind of fussed at them last time we were together, and their dog was leaving little gifts on my lawn, and I kind of wasn't real nice to them last time I talked with them. Now I need I need a favor from them. A little awkward, isn't it? And when we're not on speaking terms with someone on a regular basis, sometimes it's a little hard to go to them and ask for something. I think that happens many times in our prayer life, doesn't it? We're not on speaking terms with God on a regular basis. And then the emergency arises, and we're a little embarrassed to go to him. Now, let me just encourage you. If that's the case, please go to him anyway. He's all right with that. And he is there. 1 John 1:9 is still true. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But isn't it so much better if we keep those lines of communication open at all times? And that way, when the emergency comes, hey, Lord, hey, it's me. Remember, we were just talking this morning? Well, since I've talked to you last, something's come up. And I need some direction. We need to be willing to follow the direction that God gives. We need to be careful that we're also prepared to act on our prayer. Sometimes folks have different reactions to that. Some of us act and never pray. Have you ever done that? I think it was Charles Stanley who said, the only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you had. You ever been there? Some people just act and they don't pray. Some of us pray and never act. Oh, we'll pray and pray and pray, but never act on what God, the direction God gives. And some of us act and then pray. You ever done that? Hey, I'm gonna do this. Oh, Lord, would you bless what I just did? I hope I did the right thing. And we go that. Well, Peter prayed and then he acted. And then we need to be willing to follow God's direction when we ask for that direction. So in case of emergency, we need to ask for divine guidance. Number two, in case of emergency, we need to move in the direction of Jesus. We need to move in the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You notice, his request had far less to do with walking on the water and far more to do with being with Jesus. I think that's important. His request was not, Lord, I want you to give me the power to walk on the water right now. I want all these disciples to see how much faith I have, and I'm going to be able to walk on this water. I don't even think that was entering his mind at that moment. It just doesn't seem to me that's what his focus was in this request. His request was, Lord, bid me to come to thee. Lord, I want to be close to you. And look at the end of verse 29 again. It was to go to Jesus. He went to him. Many times we wonder why God doesn't use us in some big and grandiose way. Maybe it's because it's our desire to do something big and grandiose instead of just to be with Jesus and to be close to him. There was not a moment's hesitation in Peter's response. Again, many of us are quick to criticize Peter for his lack of faith, aren't we? We heard all kinds of sermons. Well, Peter should have had more faith. The Lord's even said, Lord, oh, thou of little faith. And we talk about Peter's lack of faith, but I wonder how many of us would have stepped out in the first place. You know? I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves tonight. Can we just name the elephants in the room? We can really criticize Peter. He should have had more faith than that. But again, I have to look at would I even be willing to step out of that boat in the first place? I don't know. I couldn't tell. I wish I could tell you that honestly, but I'm not really sure. Whenever you find yourself being tossed about on the sea of life and you don't know which way to turn, move in the direction of Jesus. Can I challenge you tonight that he is the only source of stability we have? Amen. It didn't take us long to realize in this world, folks, there's not a whole lot of stability. I mean, we don't know what the next moment holds. We don't know what what's going to happen. So isn't it wise, and isn't it just an intelligent thing to do, a logical thing to do, to base ourselves and base our emotions and everything else on something that is stable? If you're out on the water, if you want to stay in one place, you better cast an anchor. Well, my father-in-law owns a fish company on Lake Erie, and we love to go out on his boat and go perch fishing or walleye fishing. There you go. Now, with walleye, when you fish for walleye, you go out of your boat and you let the tide carry you. You leave your line in the water and you just go. And the tide carries you along and it carries that bait across the bottom, wherever. I forget where it is now. It's been a while since I've been walleye fishing. But let it carry you. And you can just drift and drift and drift. And then after you drift for a while, well, let's do another pass and let's go again. But when you're yellow perch fishing, and by the way, I believe personally they will serve yellow perch at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I know it's going to happen. There's nothing better than fresh Lake Erie yellow perch. Oh, I'm getting hungry. Anyway, when you're perch fishing, you cast the anchor. You got to stay put. Let them come to you. And so if we're going to, we need to have some kind of stability in our lives if we're going to be ready for those emergencies. As we were out on that boat at Lake Erie, my brother-in-law would take us out many times, and we'd go out, and I mean, you could see nothing for miles. You go out there, and there's nothing out there but water as far as you can see. But how do you know where you are? I'd ask him that. This is before GPS and all this kind of folk stuff. Now GPS, you know exactly where you are here. We're right here on the lake. We didn't have that stuff back then. And I said, Rich, how do you know where we are? And he would point over to the shore, and he said, see over there? There was a nuclear power plant. Davis-Bessey was the name of it. And you could see that power plant from miles and miles and miles away. He says, as long as I can see that plant, I know where we are on the water because I know where everything else is in relation to that plant. And you have some kind of stability to know where you're going. And no matter where you are on the sea of life, you can never go wrong by moving in the direction of Jesus. That will always steer you right. Number three, don't look at the deterrents in the way. Don't look at the deterrents in the way. And they're going to be there, folks. When you're going through an emergency, there's going to be some deterrents that will come your way. Look at verse 30. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. You see, when we get our eyes off Jesus, there's much that demands our attention. And we find ourselves overwhelmed by our circumstances. And we become distracted. And our focus begins to be on other things, on those finances that we don't know how in the world those bills are going to be paid. Our focus begins to go to those family problems that we're going through and those relationship issues that we're dealing with or those, that wayward child that we're praying for God to bring home or the problems on the job or whatever it is. There's all kinds of distractions that will take us away from getting our eyes on Jesus Christ. Lots of deterrents, lots of distractions. And as Peter allowed himself to be distracted by his circumstances, he began to sink in a sea of despair, and the same will happen to you and me. As we get our eyes on the circumstances and the problems and the difficulties and, oh my goodness, how am I going to get out of this? I promise you, you will begin to sink in that sea of despair, and it's a terrifying feeling. Some of us have been there. But as we get our eyes on Jesus Christ, let's get our focus on the right thing. It's so easy to focus on those deterrents. It's so easy to focus on those circumstances, on those difficulties, on that emergency, if you will. But when we get our eyes back on Jesus Christ, that's when we begin to get our sea legs under us again, if you will. We're still in the ocean. They weren't rescued out of the ocean. They were still there. But now we have some stability. You ever heard someone say, well, I'm all right. You ever heard somebody, how they were, well, how are you doing this? Well, I'm all right under the circumstances. Remember Dr. Barber said, how many times has he told, well, what are you doing under the circumstances? That's the wrong place to be. That's our problem. So we're so consumed by our circumstances that we can't allow our Savior to lift us up above our circumstances. And as believers, we can live above our circumstances because it's then that we can lay aside our sadness and our self-pity and our remorse and whatever else, whatever distraction that is there, and we can begin to have victory in our lives as we get our minds and our thoughts and our focus upon Jesus Christ. Everything else begins to pale. We begin to see things in the proper perspective. The situations may not change, but we can begin to see those situations and those difficulties, those circumstances with the right perspective. And then number four, don't give in to doubt. Don't give in to doubt. This is probably, well, it's easy for you to say, Larry. I know. I understand that. Because when we're going through those difficulties, that emergency, there's lots to doubt. There's lots to question. Lord, why? What's going on? Why have you allowed this? Look at verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? What made you doubt, Peter? Well, we know what made him doubt. He got his eyes off of Jesus Christ. He began to see his circumstances. He began to focus on that rather than on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we can be confident in the fact, no matter what our circumstance is, remember that our faith, so well, I just have enough faith, and some people kind of have a mistaken idea of this thing called faith. Well, faith is just believing something so hard and so strongly that I know it's going to happen, and I'll just believe it hard enough, that's faith. Well, no, that's not faith at all. That's hopeful thinking. That's thinking real hard. I hope it works out for you, but I doubt it. You see, faith is something that we put in something that's solid. I can have faith that I'm going to take wings and fly out of here. I can hope it real hard. Probably not going to happen. But when I have faith in something that's solidly true in the Word of God, that's when we're going to be on something stable, on what the Bible tells us. We can be confident in the fact that He cares for us. We don't have to have. We can have faith in that. Why? Not because, oh, I just hope Jesus Christ cares for me. I hope God cares for me. I hope He loves me. Do you ever find yourself saying that? Well, see, we can be confident not because we've hoped it hard enough or we've done good, we've been good enough for Him. No, He cares for us regardless. Why? Because we know it according to His Word. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. We sing that chorus with me. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. You see, 1 Peter 5:7 is very clear. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I like that word casting. Sometimes I'm going to take my burdens to the Lord and leave it there, and we understand the purpose of that. I'm going to lay them here, Lord. That word is casting. That's not laying them down. That's not taking them and putting them softly at the feet of Jesus. And that's kind of the picture we see when we think of laying our burdens down or casting our care. The word there literally means to hurl. To fling, to throw. Folks, cast your care. Get it away. When you're hurling something, you're flinging something, you mean to get rid of it, and you don't mean to go get it again. When I throw a ball to my grandson, I'm not the one that goes and chases it. He is, okay? He's got young arms, young legs. He can go do that running stuff. I'm going to fling it, I'm going to hurl it. I'm not going to go back and get it again. Once I flung something, it's over. I'm not going to chase it. We lay it down, and we not just pick it back up again. You might come to this altar, and you lay your burdens down. I hope you do. But be careful we don't just pick them right back up again. Maybe I'll have the invitation at the back of the auditorium. Have everybody fling the burdens to the front. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe. Fling them. Cast them. Hurl them. You see, that's why we can be free of doubt, because we can be confident in the fact that our Lord Jesus Christ cares for us. You know, you can go through a lot of difficulties, a lot of struggles, when you know somebody cares. You ever been through a time in your life you felt so alone, and you thought, does anybody even care? Does anybody even care what I'm going through right now? You see, we can be confident in the fact that Jesus cares. Not because we can hope it, I hope that he cares. No, we know he cares. He's told us he cares. Secondly, we can be confident in the fact that he has given those who have trusted him eternal life. We can be confident in that. We don't have to guess and wish, well, I hope I'm going to heaven when I die. And preacher was talking about this morning. And how many people we knock on their door and they say, you ask them if they're going to heaven. Well, I hope so. Well, I'm trying to do some good things and I hope I'm going to get there. How many people have a hope so salvation? You see, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 makes it very clear that these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Folks, it's something he wants us to know. Not just, oh, I hope I've got it. I hope I've done everything right. I hope I've dotted all my I's and crossed all my T's. And how many people are trusting in those kind of things to get them to heaven? And they are living a life of misery and indecision and wondering and fretting and worrying and fearing. Why? Because they have no idea that the penalty's paid. The price is paid. It's done. And those who believe on him have eternal life. It's there. It's done. It's paid for. In full. Then thirdly, we can be confident in knowing that he is preparing a place for us. That's not just kind of some kind of hope-so thing. Well, I hope I have something up there besides a little shack. I'll take a little shack. Or not. Folks, I want a mansion. The Bible tells me mansion, I'll take a mansion. He makes it clear. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, again, we can be confident, not because, well, I sure hope I get to heaven. I sure hope I get there. No, we can be confident of that because the Lord Jesus Christ told us himself in his word that he was going to do that. That's what he's doing now. That's why he went back, to prepare a place for you and I. It's waiting for us. What a joy it is to know that when we come to the end of this life, it's not the end, it's the beginning. We're going to prepare a place, he's going to prepare a place for us that we can be there with him forever. What a blessing that is during those times of emergency. Everything else may be falling apart. Everything else, we may be shaking a lot of areas, but we know something we can be sure of. We can be assured of that we have a home in heaven. And folks, can I tell you this evening that this time on earth, it may seem long and drawn out and hard, but it goes really quick. It goes really fast. My grandmother, who was with me this morning, is about to celebrate her 90th birthday. And I talk with her, and you know, how did 9 decades fly by so quickly? She can talk when she was when she was a teenager, just like it were yesterday. And then I submit to you that to her, it seems like just yesterday. Can some of our senior citizens testify to that? I think so. And the older we get, the more it seems how quick, just yesterday that was. I was looking today at a little note on the computer this morning, this afternoon, and one of the teenagers that was in my youth group back when we were in Alabama, before we even came to Worth, when I was fresh out of college, and a teenager in our youth group was talking about how her youngest daughter was now a teenager. I said, that can't be. She was 13. You were 13 years old. I remember when you were 13. Your daughter can't be 13. Much less your youngest daughter. Well, that makes you feel old real quick. But again, we can be confident in the fact that he's preparing that place for us. Number four, we can be confident in the fact that he wants to give us peace. How many folks are looking for peace tonight? Searching for it? Hoping for it? But can I submit to you that he desires, he wants, he longs to give you peace. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you." Not as the world giveth. The world's got a kind of pseudo peace, if you will. He says, I don't give peace like the world is, because that peace is going to end and fall and fail. And how sad it is that many Christians are depending on the world's kind of peace, on that temporary peace, if you will, instead of counting and accepting the peace that Jesus Christ gives. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know there's emergencies. I know there's difficulties. I know there's struggles, but don't let your heart be troubled. Why? Because I've got peace to give you. And I know this, it may seem like turmoil right now, but I've got a peace I long to give you. And we can be confident of that fact. And then number five, and we're done tonight. If we're going to, when we deal with these tragedies and these emergencies, if you will, that come up in our lives, we need to learn to dwell with Jesus. Learn to dwell with Jesus. Look at verse 32. And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Learn to dwell at his feet. Learn to spend that time. When we said earlier, it's hard to ask favors of someone who you're not on speaking terms with. Let me just challenge you. Keep that line of communication open. And it's easy. Folks, we live busy lives. I understand. Believe me. All of us go through those times. And you think, wait a minute, I went through this day and I didn't stop reading my Bible yet. I've been through this whole day and I've yet to sit down and pray and just spend some time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, take that time to learn to dwell with him. When Jesus is in our ship, the storm becomes navigable. He never promised to take us out of the storm completely. I wish I could tell you that. You pray it. He's going to remove that storm. He's going to take all those situations away. And you're going to live happily ever after with no difficulties, no struggles, no trials whatsoever. I would love to tell you that. But I'd be lying to you. He never promised to take us out of the storm. But he did promise he'd be with us in the storm. I can't take all the hurts and the pain from my children away. Well, we want to, don't we? We'd love to take every hurt, every trial, every difficulty that they experience. We'd love to just take it away. I wish I could take it upon myself. And they've been through some of your children, been through some of your grandchildren, been through some. We just want to take that upon ourselves. We can't do that. But you know what we can do? We can be there with them while they're going through those difficulties. That boyfriend that broke their heart and they just think it's the end of the world. We can be there with them. We can't bring the boyfriend back. Probably don't want to. But we can be there with them during that time. And let me just challenge, this is free of charge, this isn't part of it. And sometimes we look at the problems of our children and we just, oh, what are you worrying about that for? That's no big deal. Well, it is to them. It is to them. And sometimes I've been guilty and kind of put my, what are you so upset about? And I got to think, I've got to chide myself. Wait a minute. It may not seem like a big deal to me, but it is to her. And maybe they just need a shoulder to cry on. Maybe they just need somebody to hold them just for a few minutes. Just to learn, hey, I'm here for you. Can I tell you something? The Lord Jesus Christ is there for you. When you're going through that trial, that difficulty, that emergency, he's right there. He may not take you out of the storm. He may not take all the situations away, the circumstances away, but he's promised us he'd be there right there for us when we're there. Oh, there's peace in the midst of my storm-tossed life. There's an anchor. There's a rock to cast my faith upon. Jesus rides in my vessel, so I'll fear no alarm. He gives me peace in the midst of the storm. Can I tell you something this evening? He offers you peace if we'll just receive it. Well, I can get through this myself. I'll be okay. Will you just accept this peace? Will you just come and say, hey, Lord, I realize now I've been trying to do this myself. I've been trying to solve this problem myself. I've been trying to get through it my own strength. And sometimes we try to do that, we realize how weak our strength is, don't we? But the Bible tells us that his strength is made perfect in weakness. When we understand how weak we are and how incapable we are of going through that storm and dealing with that circumstance, that's when we can realize how strong he is and that he's there with us during that time. I feel confident there's many emergencies represented here this evening. I think there's lots of emergencies sitting right here in this room. How are we going to deal with them? What are we going to do? Let me just challenge you. Ask for divine guidance. Ask for the Lord. Say, Lord, I need you right now. Move in the direction of Jesus. Remember that time when you were close to Him and get close to Him. Don't look at the deterrence in the way. Don't let those distractions and those failures and those emergencies distract you from what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do in your life and keeping your focus upon Him. Don't give in to doubt. And Lord, Satan sure wants to throw doubts in our minds, doesn't he? He wants to throw, he doesn't really care about you. Why would he let you go through this if he really cared about you? He can have us believe in some of that stuff. Oh, no, don't give in to doubt. And learn to dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Again, I don't know your circumstance this evening. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know your heartache. But I know that there are many in this room. Just the odds of statistics would tell us there are many in this room that are going through some emergencies right now. You're going through some difficulties and you need some help. Now, heads are bowed and eyes are closed just for a moment. I just wonder if there'd be someone here in this room who said, Brother Larry, I appreciate what you said because right now I'm going through some emergencies. Would you just pray for me that I could deal with it in the right way? I've got an emergency right now. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand up? You're dealing with an emergency. I see hands all over. Any others? Anyway, I just want to pray for you. Any others? Thank you. You put them down. Any others? Larry, I'm dealing with an emergency, and I want to deal with it in the right way. Any others? Father, I just come before you thanking you so much that you're a God who desires to offer us peace. And Father, you desire to be with us through these emergencies that we face. And Father, I thank you that we had those such sweet promises from the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I just pray that for those that have raised their hand this evening, Lord, they're going through some emergencies. They're going through some difficulties. They're going through some trials. And Father, I pray that you would just strengthen them right now. Father, I pray that first of all, they would seek for guidance from your face. Father, maybe they already have. But Father, I just pray that you give them the strength they need through these emergencies, that they would not get their eyes on the emergencies and the difficulties and the trials, but they would learn to dwell with you. Oh, Father, make it true in their life. Father, I pray that they would begin to see above those circumstances and learn that, Father, that you are in control. Regardless of the circumstances that they're going through, that you're right there with them, holding their hand through that emergency, through that difficulty, through that trial. Father, even when people fail us, we know you don't. And Father, I pray that you just minister to hearts and lives tonight as only you're able to do. For it's in Christ's name we ask. Preach, you come.